Good morning. When we all get to heaven, that is our blessed hope. Hear me? No, not really. Do I need to speak up here? How's that? There we go. As we think of God's promises, I just took a moment and I went on to Google and I just wanted to see if there was, how many promises are out there in God's Word? Some places I heard 3,000, some places 7,000, up to 8,000 promises I heard. We have a lot to be thankful for. God has given us so many different promises. You know, and so what we're going to be looking at today is we're going to be looking at a promise that was given to Abraham. And I saw some significant things in that this Israel of the promise. I saw some interesting thing there that is actually applicable for us, especially today. And so we're going to be going through our Bibles. So you're going to turn. I was thinking of putting it up on the screen, all the verses, but we're going to be using our Bibles today. Is that okay? All right. It'll get us used to using them, and I can use a little bit more brushing up myself as I go through these. We're going to go first to Genesis chapter 12, and here is where Abram first gets his first interaction. You might say, well, he must have had a life with God, but yet God comes to him and speaks to him directly. And here's what he said. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, and here's what it says. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country of and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old, and departed out of Haran. Now, I don't know how many of you have tried to get in your car and you just decided you're going to just drive and you don't know where you're going. At 75, no less. No destination, you just pack up and go because God says go. Take some faith. And he just says, I'm going to bless thee. And so he journeys. He begins his journey and he goes through Egypt. There's war that begins with the battle, and he goes and saves Lot. And after this, we see in chapter 15, go to chapter 15 of Genesis, we see God comes again to Abraham, and here's what he says. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. Now, wouldn't you want the Lord to come say that to you? And he goes on and he says, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is not mine heir. And Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be mine heir, this shall not be thine heir, but that shall come from out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and let tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So God comes and he says, Abraham says, I have no seed. He says, go outside, look up, and tell me if you can count them. And he says, Abraham now, first he's on a journey. He hasn't arrived anywhere. He's just journeying, and he hasn't arrived yet. Now God comes to him and says, you know, you're going to have an heir. I'm going to bless you, just like I promised earlier. Hasn't seen any results yet, but Abraham still does what? Still believes God. He still believes God, and he walks forward. Sarah comes along in chapter 16, and she's having a little struggle with this promise. And Sarah says, you know, I have this handmaiden Hagar. Why don't you take him and your seed will go on? And maybe that's what God has intended. You know, a lot of times it's good to listen to your wife, but this was not a good time to listen to your wife. Abraham does that, and a little time goes on, and all of a sudden, Ishmael is born. And he is now, in verse 16, he says he is 80, and that's 86 years old. Now remember, when did he begin this promise that God told him? How old was he? 75 years old. Now he's 86. That's a pretty long time from a promise given to you. He's holding on to this thing. He's holding on to this promise. And God comes to him again in chapter 17. He comes to him again after Ishmael is born. And here's what it says, and verses 1 through 6. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make thee a covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant with before me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and these their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Here comes God, and He's given them another promise. He's telling them again. He says, I'm the Almighty God. You walk with me. Be ye perfect. Be perfect. And I will do what? What did he say? What was God going to do? Make sure the covenant was going to be taken care of. The covenant was God's responsibility. He just says, you walk with me. What has Abraham done so far? He believed God and he goes. He believes his promise is counted to him as righteousness. He believes what God says and he moves forward. Now, how old is he? 99. Have you ever, God has given promises before. Have we ever needed to hold on? What is this? 99, and he hasn't had his, even the promise yet. God says he's going to multiply his seed. And where is he standing? Doesn't even have a child yet. How many years? 24 years at this point in time. That's faith. That's faith. Here he goes on, and now look. He promises, but here's a question. He said, God said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I sort of wanted to look at that just a little bit. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Keep your hand in Genesis. We're going to go back there. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews, New Testament. We're closer to the back. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And it says, chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, working to do his work, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So who's the one that's going to work the perfectness in us? Christ. Jesus is going to do that. What was Abraham willing to do? Follow. If God says, I want you to go on this journey without a GPS and just get on a road and go, that's what he did. That's what he did. And God says, I'm going to take care of all the promises that come along with that. You just be willing. God was just looking for someone that's willing to take him at his word. Let's go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis 21, verse 12. Genesis 21, verse 12. If you look down here in verse 5, Abraham at this time, it's time for the birth of Isaac to come along, and he is now 100 years old. He is now 100 years old, and God says in verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondswoman in all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Okay. This was a good time to obey God. Other time was not such a good time, but he gets the okay from the Lord, and he goes forward, and he does this. But what do we see here? Is God interested in lineage? Is God interested in lineage, but is he interested in bloodline lineage? Who was the rightful heir according to the bloodline lineage? Who was his firstborn? Ishmael was. But God says, no, 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 he says, for in Isaac is thy seed called, is thy seed. So he's saying, I am not going to go on what you think lineage is. Lineage is what I'm functioning on is what I say. So God is saying now, he's saying, Abraham, you just need to remember, you follow me. You have a heart that's open to me, and you follow me where I direct you to go. And I promise I'll make all these promises happen for you. All these promises that I am giving you, all I need you to do have is an open heart and follow. Let's go on. Let's look at another text. Let's look at Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Here comes Isaac. He's getting a little bit older now. And Isaac, he's journeying here. Now, so far have they gotten to the promise that they were going to be this great multitude? Have they seen any of that yet? No. Now Isaac, Abraham's done, gone. Isaac is there now. And so God presents this, what he had made a covenant with Abraham, he does with Isaac. And here's what it says. And there was a famine in the land. This is 26 verses 1. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt, dwell in the land where I tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all the commandments, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all the countries, and in thee, in thy seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed his voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Okay, so Abraham, Christ comes, or God comes before Isaac. He presents the oath that he made with Abraham. Isaac now is willing to acknowledge this oath. And so what does Isaac do? He stays in that land. He doesn't go to Egypt. He obeys the Lord, but he still is holding on to this belief or this promise that God has given, and his father has already passed away, and he's still journeying. The promise was still there, and all God wanted was someone to believe his promise and act upon that. That's all that God was looking for. Someone just to take this promise and be willing to go forward with it. And so Isaac does this. Does he have problem with children? Yeah, he has a little problem with children just like his father did. But God blesses him after some trying faith to go with that as well. So we go on and look. They have children, Esau, Jacob and Esau come along. And now let's go to Genesis chapter 32. And I like this part. This was an interesting part as I was looking. Genesis chapter 32. And we're going to go first with verse 9 and 10. Now here's a little bit of background to the story here. Remember, Jacob had gotten the birthright from Esau. Esau was on the rampage. He didn't like Jacob because he stole the birthright. And so now God has told him, it's time to go back to your country. And he goes, but this is what happened. Look in verse 9, 32 verse 9. And it says, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord, which sayest unto me, return unto the country to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. And then look what he says. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth, which thou hast shown unto my servant. For with my staff I passed over the Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Now he begins to go to this country, back to where his father was, his country where his father was staying, and he all of a sudden sees some of the places he was struggling with, because he had just, when he left there, he was struggling whether God would really forgive him for all the things that he has done. And he's going through some of these same areas again, contemplating his sin that had before. And God gave him this vision with the ladder. And he is going back now, but he's a little leery, so his family and all his cattle, he separates them, and he sends one way and another way, so one of them could be spared if Esau is angry with him still. And now look what happens. Now he's going to sleep that evening, and we're in verse 24, and look what it says. We'll start with, he begins his wrestle in the night, and verse 25. And this is Genesis 32:25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Now here's the angel who did not prevail against who? Jacob. Very interesting. Did not prevail against Jacob, and the angel touched his thigh of his joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. Now, who said let me go? The angel says, let me go, for the day breaketh, and the day breaketh, he said, and Jacob says, I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And the angel blesses him in verse 29. Now, I had a question as soon as I read that. I says, how could the angel not get away from Jacob? I mean, you see angels and they've talked with him and then they're gone. How could the angel not get away from Jacob? So I had to do a little search. I looked, and let's go to Hosea chapter 12. Hosea, keep your finger. Well, we're going to be going back into the New Testament, but let's go to Hosea, which is right after Daniel. Hosea chapter 12, Hosea chapter 12, and we're going to be 2 through 6. Now here, you know, the children of Israel were going up and down. They had a hard time believing the promises, what God was going to promise them, and he said, you're going to go into Canaan, can't go into Canaan. They had a rough time, here we see God was talking with them, and here's what it says. And the Lord hath also a controversy with Judea, and will perish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. Now look what happens. He talks about Jacob here. And he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Now, how do you have power with God? That was my question. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. And here's why. He wept and he made supplication unto him. And he found him in Bethel, and there he spake with him. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. And look what it says in verse 6. Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgments, and do what? Wait on him continually. So now how did the angel not be able to get away? That's the question I had. If when there is a sinner that is pleading with God, is God going to say, sorry, I got to go? Is that what God says? He had power. If we are pleading with God, the angel can't leave. And God, he says, oh, please bless me. I need it. He was struggling with his past. And he's saying, oh, please bless me. I need you. And he hangs on to the angel. The angel could not leave because he was pleading from his heart. God cannot leave when there's a pleading heart for him. Praise God for that. And so the angel just blesses him. And Jacob moves forward. Now, it's interesting when it says he was going to, he had power with God and with man. You know, Jacob, when he was with Esau, he didn't see Esau yet, but he got a word back that he's coming with 100 soldiers. He's getting a little worried, and he breaks up these two bands. And God now works on Esau's heart. When there is supplication from someone that really desires God, can God do miracles? Even within our enemies, where we think is our enemies. Yes, he can. God, with prayer and supplication with God, God can do. He just wants to be and help his pleading child. That's our God. That's all. Now, what so far, what is the criteria that was taking place here dealing with the promises? What was the promise of old? God says, you're going to be a great multitude. He says, I want you to go. And he goes. And he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And all I need is somebody that has an open heart to me. That's all it. You be open heart and I'll do all the rest of it. I'll do all the rest of it. Now we get to Isaac. Does he have an open heart? Is he willing to work? Is he willing to do what God is promising, even if he can't see the outcome? He couldn't see the promise. I mean, he had a hard time with children as well. But he holds on to the promise. And we see Jacob now. We see Jacob struggling with his sin, but he holds on to the promise that God gives. Now, we know the children of Israel had a hard time holding on to some of these promises. So who is God looking for? Who is God looking for to keep this promise going? Who is God looking for? Let's look. Let's go now into Galatians. Galatians 3. Let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. 6 through 8, actually. And it says here, Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Even as Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him as righteousness, now ye therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of who? Abraham. So by faith now, we are the children of who? Are we believing the promises? So now look what it says. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preaching before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Okay, what is happening here? How was the gospel preached to Abraham? What is the gospel? Jesus Christ is going to come, believe. Whoever believes on that shall what? Shall be saved. Have to believe the promise. Did Abraham have to believe the promise and keep journeying? Yes, he did. So the gospel is the same. It was based on faith. Now let's go to another verse. This is very interesting. Let's go to Romans. We're going to be in Romans for a little bit. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. How does it work with this faith now? For the Romans chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. For the promise that he should be the heirs of the world was not to Abraham and his seed through the law, or the law of the bloodline, let's put it that way, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be of the law, then faith is made void, and the promises of none effect. If it's based on the bloodline, there's nothing to do with faith, because you only could be bloodline to be saved. God says, no, it's based on what? What did God have Abraham trust in? Was it the bloodline? Or was it the promise? It was the promise. And so Jesus now, here we're talking now, he says, by faith, it's not through the bloodline because it's made void and the promise is made of no effect. Because the law worketh wrath, there is no law where there is no transgression. Okay, he was wanting to make sure that there was a struggle with this law issue, and he says, no, there's a law, and it deals with, if you don't have the law, you don't have transgression. But then he goes on, and he says, therefore, it is faith that it might be grace to the end of the promise, might be sure to all the seed, not to only them which is of the law, but to them also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Okay, so what are we dealing with now? How does faith work? If you are in the bloodline and you have faith in what the promise was, could you still move over to the children of God who believe the promises? Yes, you could still move over there. But if you're a Gentile, if you believe in faith, you can still move into that same group. But if it's just the bloodline, how can the Gentiles arrive? They can't get in. So it only can be based on faith. And so that's why it's based on the promises. So all Israel can be saved. And we're going to look into that just a little bit. And so the promise is only realized through faith, and it only can work through faith. It cannot work through the bloodline. Let's look at Romans chapter 9. Look at Romans chapter 9, verses 4 through 8. It says, who is Israel, and who pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Who are the fathers, and to whom, as concerning the flesh, Jesus came, and is over all, God bless forever. So he's saying, who are these Israelites? Who are they? And who are all these promises given to then? That's what his question is. And then look what it says in verse 6 through 8. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they the bloodline of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He says, because of bloodline, it doesn't work. But with the promise, it does work. And then he goes on, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. So we're looking at now the promise is based on, it's the promises that God is working off of. And so as the promises, if you believe in God's promises, he can bring you from literal Israel or the Israel nation, and you believe in the promises, he can bring you into this. If you believe Christ and he died on the cross, you can come into this. And also as a Gentile, you can also come into this. And let's go to Romans chapter 11. We're getting close. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Now he's talking about the literal children of Israel. God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, a seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's saying, I'm the bloodline here. I'm having to deal with this as well. And then look what he says in verse 5, same chapter 11. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election. Okay, so there's a remnant according to the election. How would they be the remnant according to the election? How do they get in to be this Israel that is not literal Israel? How do they get over there? By believing what? By believing the promises. By believing the promises and having a heart to follow as Abraham did. Then it goes on in 11 through 24, and I'm not going to read all of that. I'm going to just share. Here we see he's talking to the Gentiles, and he's saying to them, you know, it's a good thing that they fell away so it can go to the Gentiles, but Gentiles, don't get too big-headed because it's over in your ballpark now. Don't get too high-minded about this. And he says, if God could take the literal Israel and cut them off because of lack of faith, he says he can do the same thing with you. So we need to believe the promises, and he says he can graft them back in or he can graft you in whichever way he wants to go through faith in the promises he can do. Then he goes on in 25 and 26, and look what he says. Now this is a struggle with them, and he says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part of the happenings of Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So it was a blessing that it went to the Gentiles, so faith could take part in this. And he says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodly from Jacob. Okay, what are we seeing here? He says, so then all Israel shall be saved. Is he talking about the Israelites or the bloodline? What is he talking about there? Spiritual Israel, those that believe in the promises and are willing to stand on them and act out like Abraham was willing to step out and act upon them, even if it takes 25 years, for Abraham. And so here we see, now let's go to Galatians 3:26. We're going to go back to Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3, chapter 26. Let's see if we can wrap this up here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen for that. For as many of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither what? Jew nor Greek, nor neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are you what? Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. The promise is based, this faith is all based on God's promises. If we are willing to stand on these promises, God promises to do all the rest for us. Praise God for that. We are just standing in, you know, sometimes my wife is driving and I'm driving along or she's driving along and someone sort of pulls out in front of her. Sometimes I think I'm driving still and I will put the brakes on in the passenger seat. Have you ever done that? I've done that. Why do we do that? It's a natural reaction for us to respond when we see something that we know is real to us. In the same way, faith, as we believe God, we respond to what God we know is real. That's what Abraham did. That's what Isaac did. That's what Jacob did. They responded to what was real to them. And they stood on God's promises. Whether they saw the outcome or not, they didn't see any of this. But did God fulfill some of the promises to Israel? Did they have kings that came out of Abraham? Yes, it did. King David, even the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Yes, he did fulfill his promise. But before I close, I want to go to Romans 2:28 and 29. Romans 2, our last text. Romans 2:28 and 29. Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29. Here's what it says. Romans 2:28 and 29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew or an Israelite, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, and the spirit is not of the letter, whom praise is not of men but of God. Praise God for that. He's the one that makes the promises fulfilled. All he's asking is, are we allowing our heart to be circumcised, to be given completely to him, to take that old heart away and give us a heart of flesh? You know, God's always pointing. He's always pointing the way, and he has promises connected with that pointing. And where are we? If you haven't realized this yet, and I'm sure you all have, there are so many things that bombard us today in life. Satan is trying to get us to give in, let go of the promises. And God is asking, can I find someone left that I can bless them with my promises? That's all he's looking for. Someone to carry these promises that are willing to stand on these promises. That's what he's looking for. You know, we see a lot of things happening in history. We see a lot of things even in the church today. And we see Satan trying to turn this cart over and over again. You know it in your own lives. I don't need to tell you. It's in my own life. Over and over again, these battles that come up and battles that come up. Are we going to hold on to God's promises even if they take 25 years or more? That's the question. Are we going to have the faith of Father Abraham and hold on regardless of how long it may take? Is faith real to us? Is what God promised real to us? That is what God is looking for, because he wants to pour out this blessing for us today. And he will. It's his promise. And if we hold on and say, Lord, I will not let you go until you do what? Bless me. We can hold on by faith through Christ, and he won't let go. He's going to need to stay, and he's going to fulfill his promises. Praise God for that. As we close, we're going to sing Standing on the Promises. If the choristers would come up.